Okay, we're beginning here on the Mishnah Mem Daled Amud Aleph. The first half of today's daf really talks about a Mishnah that you would have liked to have seen earlier on in the Masechta. This basically goes through the three fundamental parameters of a Nazir and what he's restricted in. Then the Gemara after this Mishnah actually works through what's seemingly circular logic about each of these items and why they don't contain the other aspects of Nazirut. And then the Gemara says it can't because of a pasuk or a limud. What I think the Gemara is really after in this case is getting to the limudim, or the understanding of what it is, these three fundamental items that a Nazir is restricted in, what is it that they're restricted in, and how do they work, and how do they function. And they use this seemingly circular logic to get to those conclusions. So at the end of the first Amud, we'll go quickly over and do a summary of everything we've learned on the first Amud. So now, starting the Mishnah, Shlosha minim asurim b'nazir. There are three restrictions or three fundamental points that a Nazir accepts when he becomes a Nazir. One is hatumah, that he's restricted from becoming coming into contact with the tamei mace. V'hit gati glachat, he's not allowed to get a haircut or have his hair cut. V'ayotzei min hagefen, and he's restricted in any derivative of the grape. Now the Mishnah is going to discuss, what are the unusual characteristics of each aspect of this. Now, chomer betuma v'tiklachat mikbiyot b'gefen. Tuma and the cutting of the hair have something that's unique to them that doesn't appear by things that are derivative of the grape. Shatuma v'tiklachat sotrim. When it comes to tuma and tiklachat, they undermine the nazirut. Meaning, if a nazir becomes tamei, then not only is he have to wait to become tahor again, but the pasuk says v'hayamim harishonim yiplu ki tamei nizro, that because of his tumah he loses out those days that he counts again. He needs to restart his nizirut. So that's true of tumah. That is true of tizglachat. But that is not true of one who violates the nizirut by drinking wine or consuming that which is derivative of the grape product. Meaning that a nazir who drinks wine does not lose any of his days of Nizirut. If he drank wine the whole time, even though he's violating a law, his Nizirut still continues. We did have earlier in the Gemara, there was a machlokes in the Tanaim, whether when you want to be matzah the Nether, whether if he violated the Nether until that point, when it comes to drinking of wine or eating or consuming grape products, whether he had to then wait the amount of time to keep the Nether beheter before we are matzah's Nether. That's all a din or a kanas de rabbonon. But mi'ikar din, right, the nazir, when he drinks wine, does not undermine his nizirut. There's a chumra when it comes to gefen, derivatives of the grape product, that are not apparent or do not appear by tuma and tiklachas. So yotzmini gefen lo hutar michlalo. There are no exceptions. When it comes to the consumption of grape derivatives, there are no exceptions for the nazir. He must keep that law, and there will be no special dispensations during his nizirut for that. Whereas that's not true. But tuma tiglachat, that's not true. By tuma tiglachat, there are exceptions to the rule. What are those exceptions? Bit tiglachat mitzvah. When he cuts his hair for a mitzvah, what is cutting his hair for a mitzvah? So that we just had earlier this week in the dafim, which is what? A mitzvah. That is a nazir. It's permitted to do a tiglachat mitzvah. So even though he's a nazir, we still allow him to cut his hair, because we learn out from the extraneous words of Rosho and Zikano that despite the fact that he's a nazir, we still permit him to cut his hair. And bitumah, which we had in yesterday's daf, what's the exception when it comes to tumah? That is upemeis mitzvah, that the nazir is restricted for coming to meis. But we do have extraneous words when it comes to tumah. It says by the nazir koyamei Yisrael Hashem al nefesh meit lo yavo. That sounds like he can't become tamei to any mate. Then the next pasuk enumerates. Why did the pasuk need to enumerate those items if already said he can't touch any mates? Why did it have to then come and enumerate all these relatives that he may not touch or come into contact with? So the Gemara is going to learn. Then the Masechta will learn from each of those words an exception for the nazir. But the major exception, which comes from Laviv Ulimo, the fact that wrote Laviv Ulimo means that for his father and his mother he may not become Tamei, but he may become Tamei for a Meit Mitzvah. So when it comes to Tuma Teglachat, we do have exceptions. That means we suspend the Nizirut with regards to special situations. That special situation by Tuma is Meit Mitzvah. Special situation with regards to Teglachat is a Teglachat of Mitzvah, that of a Mitzvah. But by Geffen, we have no such dispensation. There is no exception to the rule that a Nazir may not consume grape derivatives. Now the Mishnah continues. V'homer b'tuma mitik lachat. That even with the undermining of the Nazirut, tuma is a chomer that tik lachat doesn't have. Sha'tuma soteret et akol. When it comes to tuma, when a person comes to Meimeit, he undermines the entire Nazirut. I mean, he loses all the days he counted until that point. He has to restart his Nizirut from the point of Tumah. And in addition to that, there's a process called a Karban Tumah, or Nazir Tameh. Nazir Tameh has a whole process to restart his Nizirut. Not only does he lose his first days with Ayim Mirashoni Blue, but also he brings Karbanot in order to be Metaher himself and to restart his Nizirut. That is not true of Tiglachat. Tiglachat ain't a Soter Tel Shloshim. Tiglachat only suspends or requires him to repeat 30 days worth of Nizirut, and Eino Chayav Aleha Karban, and Chayav Aleha Karban, there's no requirement to bring a Karban. If he undermines Nizirut, if he suspends Nizirut because of his hair being cut, that also does not land him in a requirement of bringing Karban note. So now, we're going to go through the Gemara now. Betuma, lo tutar mechlala. Betuma should not have any exceptions. Kav chomer miyayim, we can learn that out from wine. Uma yayin she'enu soter. Just like wine does not undermine the Nizirut, lo hutar michlalo, it has no exceptions. Tuma shesoteres, tuma which has a chumra by it that it does undermine Nizirut, ain't no din shlo hutar michlalo. It certainly should not, have any exceptions. Tam lo v'mar, we have a specific pasuk to teach us, so even though logically it would say that by tuma we should be machmir and not have any exceptions, nevertheless, if the pasuk, la people yimo lo itama. He may not become tamei to his father or his mother, but he can become tamei to a mate mitzvah. So that is the exact cost of that the nazir is permitted to become tamei to a mate mitzvah. So let's say the opposite. Wine or derivatives of the grape product should be have exceptions. We claim that out logically from tumah. Umat tumah shehi soteret. Just like Tuma undermines the Zirut, Hutra Mechala, and nevertheless has exceptions, Yayin Sheino Soter, Yayin that does not have the power to undermine the Zirut, Eino Din Sheutra Mechala, certainly it should have exceptions to the rule. So Amar Kura, Miyayin Mishaycha Yazir, we have a specific pasuk that says, Miyayin Mishaycha Yazir, at the beginning of the Parshas of Nazir, says, Miyayin Mishaycha Yazir, Chom Mitzayim, Chom Mitzaycha Lo Lishtev, Chom Mishrat HaNavim Lo Yishtev, HaNavim Lachim Veshim Lo Yochel. The pasuk goes on to enumerate all the items that he's restricted in the Nazir. So what is this beginning statement, this call in the beginning, Miyayim Mishaychar Yazir? So the Gemara says, we lose that Miyayim Mishaychar Yazir to teach us that just like Yayin Rishus is restricted, just like a Nazir is restricted from consuming wine at his discretion, so too, even if he's commanded to, even if he has a mitzvah to consume wine, he still may not consume it. So that's why we have, by Yayin, there are no exceptions to rules. So even though logically, from Tumah, we would have learned that there's an exception to rule, nevertheless, we have a pasuk that specifically says that wine has no exceptions. The question here is, what is Yayin Shel Mitzvah? When do you have wine that is a mitzvah? So the simple interpretation, and that's brought down by the Tosfos and the other Rishonim here, is Yayin Shel Mitzvah is a case where the person takes a shvua. The person takes a shvua to drink wine. So now he has a positive commandment to drink wine because he took a shvuah to drink. So in order to fulfill his shvuah, he must drink wine. After that, he takes a neder nizirut. He takes a neder nizirut. Neder nizirut requires him to refrain from consuming wine or from consuming grape products. So if that's the case, right, which trumps here? He has a mitzvah because of the shvuah to drink wine. Yet he has a nizirut which is preventing him. And that's what the pasuk says: Lesor yayin mitzvah ki yayin rishus. Just like he is restricted from consuming grape derivatives or yayin when it comes to optional items, so too by when he has a mitzvah, even if he has a shavua, which would compel him to drink wine, nevertheless, when he takes the neder nizirut, that blocks him or stops him from being able to drink the wine. And that is what it means, yayin mitzvah ki yayin rishus. Now, as opposed to that, the Meforesh here continues along the line of the tremendous chiddush that he said on Gimel Amud Beis. If you remember earlier in the Masechta on Gimel Amud Beis, the Gemara over there has this same question. The Gemara has Yayin Mitzvah ki Yayin Rishus. Yayin Mishaychar comes to teach you that Yayin Mitzvah ki Yayin Rishus is restricted. Over there, the Gemara says, Mayhi, what is the Yayin Mitzvah? So the Gemara over there answers, Kidusha ve'avdalta. That's the wine of Kiddush and Havdalah. So the simple way to read the Gemara is what? Min HaTorah, a person is required to drink wine for Kiddush and Havdalah. And how could a person take a Neda Nizirut, right? That Neda Nizirut is going to be less or Yain Mitzvah ki Yain Rishut. That he will be restricted from consuming wine even for the wine of a mitzvah. What mitzvah is that? That's the mitzvah of Kiddush Havdalah. So the Mefarish there on Gimon Beis and Daud and Al says, well, you see from here that Kiddush Alayayin and Havdalah Alayayin are a mitzvot deoraisa, mitzvah from the Torah. And he quotes the Limud in the Gemara Pesachim and Kuvvav that says, Zachor Atim HaShab the Kodesho, Zachreyu Al Hayayin, that you should remember it, you should mikadesh it on the wine. Anyway, it'll be Knisoto, that's only when Kiddush, Piyitzitato, Minayin. How do I know when it goes out also? The Gemara brings the Limud that both for Kiddush and Havdalah in the Gemara Pesachim, Zachrei Alayayin, that remembering it on the wine is a din, is a Limud from the Pasuk of Zemei Choyom Eskavish Shabbat the Kacho. And here the Mefarish says that as a Limud Doraisa to teach you that of Kiddush and Havdalah on the wine are Dinim Doraisa. And nevertheless, we have the Pasuk of Yayin V'Shechar, right, that the restriction Yayin V'Shechar Yazir. That teaches you, just like Yayin Rishus is restricted, so is Yayin Mitzvah. Then the Gemara says, well, how could that be? Hello, right? Hello, Arei Mushba V'Oin Elav Mehar Sinai. How can the Nazir come and undermine something that he's commanded Min HaTorah to do? He already had a Shavua in place that he can't undermine. So how could it be that he comes along and is Chal on that Shavua? So you see from this that the Mefarish believes that drinking wine for Kiddush Havdalah is De'oraisa. Other Rishonim, 99% of all Rishonim believe that the drinking wine for Kiddush is only a din derabbanan, whether Kiddush is deoraisa or even Kiddush is derabbanan. But almost everybody agrees that Kiddush alayayin is not deoraisa. And even if they believe, one day in Tosfos and Pesachim says, even if Kiddush is deoraisa, the shtiyas alayayin, the drinking of the wine, is certainly not deoraisa. That's only derabbanan. So if they think that it's Kiddush and Havdalah are only derabbanan, how do they explain the Gemara on Daf Gimon Beis and Daf Aleph? That's based on the Rabbeinu Tam. The Rabbeinu Tam says the Gemara is saying bitmia. It's a question. Meaning, the Gemara says, let's our yayin mitzvah ki yayin rishus, to restrict the yayin of mitzvah like you restrict the yayin of rishus. Right? Then the Gemara says, what's yayin mitzvah? The Gemara says, kiddush v'avdallah. That's yayin mitzvah. So then the Gemara says, harei mushvo ma'edom av har sinai. The way the Mefarish learned harei mushvo ma'edom av har sinai means, yes, kiddush v'avdallah min ha-torah. How can the Nazirus come and undermine that? The Rabbeinu Tam says, no, that's a question. That's a bitmia. How could it be that you need a pasuk to restrict Kiddush and Havdalah wine? Har mushba of Omer Alam Har Sinai? Is that a commandment of Torah? Drinking wine with Kiddush Havdalah is a rabbanon. So why would you need a pasuk min Torah to teach you that what? That Kiddush and Havdalah is mutar for the, or restricted for the Nazir. It's not even a Torah law that he has to drink wine. That's the way the Rabbeinu Tam learns it, and that's the way the most of Rishonim following the Rabbeinu Tam's limud learn this sugya. So over here in the Gemara, they have to learn that Lissar Yayin Mitzvah Ki Yayin Rishus is not Kiddush Havdalah, but the case of Shvua, where he took a Shvua. The Mefarish, on the other hand here, compounds his Kiddush that he has on Daf Dalet of Alf, and says over here that a Nazir is actually permitted to drink wine for Kiddush and Havdalah. A full-fledged Nazir, even if he took his Neder Nizirut, would be permitted to drink wine every Friday night and every Motu Shei Shabbos because Kiddush and Havdalah are Min HaTorah. Uh-oh, if that's the case, according to the Mefarish, then we do have Hutar Miklalo. We do have an exception by Nazir. The exception by Nazir is Kiddush and Havdalah. So the Mefarish says, no, that's not an exception. When do you call something an exception? An exception to the rule is when at the moment you take the Nizirut, the rule applies, and then we suspend the rule somewhere along during the Nizirut to deal with the situation, to be mitzmodeid with what is in front of us. That's true by Tumas Mace. The Nazir is restricted in Tumas Mace. Then all of a sudden he's confronted with a Mace Mitzvah. We suspend his Nazirut, or we suspend the restriction from him there to deal with the Mace Mitzvah. Same thing with the Mitzorah. A Nazir in general cannot cut his hair. If he is then faced with the problem of being a Nazir, or being a Mitzorah during his Nazirut, then he has permission to cut his hair. But that's not true of Kiddush and Havdalah. Kiddush and Havdalah, according to the Mefarish, were never restricted. They were never included other than their Nazirut. They're not an exception to the rule. They're never included in the rule. And that's what the Mefarish explains. Kiddush and Havdalah were never incorporated under the din of Nazir, and therefore they're not Hutar Mechlalan. They're not exceptions to the rule. An exception to the rule means that the rule applies, you're not allowed to drink wine, and then you're faced with a situation which allows you to drink wine despite the Isur. Here there is no Isur at all. So I just wanted to point this out again. This Mefarish is a very large Chiddush on Da'at Aleph, and here he compounds his Chiddush and says that a Nazir is permitted to drink wine for Kiddush and Havdalah. And not only that, that's not considered Hutar Michalan. I will just point out as a sidebar here, that is a question in general whether Havdalah is part of the Dine Shabbos or is an independent din. Over here you see that clearly the Mefarish believes that Kiddush and Havdalah, whose source is from Zachor Yom HaShabbat Sukkotcho, Zachor Yayin believes that Kiddush and Havdalah are a part of Shabbos. That has major nafkaminos because of the women says, women are chayavot in mitzvah of Shabbat. So if it comes that the mitzvah of Havdalah is part of the mitzvah of Shabbat, the woman would be equally chayav in Havdalah. If Havdalah is a separate mitzvah independent of Shabbos, meaning a requirement to differentiate between Chol and Kodesh, Marn Chulin has a different source for Havdalah, possibly ben HaKodesh or ben HaChol from Pashat Shmini. So if that is an independent din, women may not be chayavot in Havdalah, which presents a problem whether women can make Havdalah for a man or whether they can make Havdalah for themselves. It's a discussion in the Ramal, quotes the, or quotes Chaim. But from here it's clear. The other time it comes up is by the 9 days. By Tisha B'Av, during the 9 days when you make Havdalah after Shabbos, are you allowed to drink the wine from Havdalah? By the wine of Kiddush, we clearly permit you to drink wine because we don't have any restriction against wine or Avelus on Shabbos, so therefore you can drink the wine for Kiddush. But can you drink the wine of Havdalah? Well, that depends. If Havdalah is a part of Din and Shabbos, then certainly you could drink the wine for Havdalah. But if Havdalah is something, a separate entity, or is independent of Shabbos, then you can't drink the wine. So because of that, we have that problem. During the 9 days, we do not drink the wine of Havdalah. We're choshesh for this problem. And therefore, we either give the wine to a katan, or according to the Aruch HaShulchan, we use beer, we use Chaymar Medina to make Havdalah. But according to the Mefarsh, it's clear that Havdalah is a part of the Dinei Shabbos. All right, here we continue in our Gemara now. The Yayin Yisker et HaKol. Yayin should undermine the Nazirut, Kavachomer Mitumah, we come from Tumah. Ma Tumah Shuhutra Mechlolah, Tumah, which has an exception, has this Chumra, so Teret et HaKol undermines the Nazirut. Yayin Shuhutra Mechlolah, Yayin, which has no exceptions, Lo Koshukain, certainly she is Thor. Certainly that it should go ahead and undermine the Nazirut. Amar Kara, Vayamim Arishoni Pulu, the Pulsuk clearly says, when do you undermine the Nazirut? That's Kitamein Nizro. That's when it references to Tumah. Tumah Soteret Mein Ayayin Soteret. The Pulsuk explicitly says, when is Nizirut undermined? When are Yamim Arishonim Yiplo? That's only Kitamei Nizro, when you have Tumah. Tumah undermines, and not Yayin. So Mar says, V'atiglachat Tistorat HaKol Kavachomer Mitumah. Right, so Tiglachat, cutting your hair, should undermine the entire Nizirut, not just 30 days, Kavachomer Mitumah. Uma Tumah Shlo Asaba Mitamei Kemitamei. By Tumah, and we're going to see this derivative in the Pasuk in a second, by Tumah, the only restriction is that the Nazir himself becomes Tamei, or makes himself Tamei. For that, he gets Malkus. But if a third party, if another person makes the Nazir Tamei, right, that when the Nazir is acting in a passive form, there is no Malkus. So Teret et HaKol. And nevertheless, Tumah undermines the entire Nazirut. Tiglachat, by Tiglachat, Shasu ba migaleach kemit galeach. By cutting one's hair, by cutting the Nazir's hair, not only is the Nazir himself restricted in getting his hair cut, but if someone else cuts the Nazir's hair, he is restricted. There's a lav. Ain't Odin should distort. Then certainly by Tiglachat, you should undermine the whole Nazirut et HaKol. Amar Kuro, we have the same pasuk that we saw by Yain, by Yamim Arishonim Yiplu. When are the days of the Nizirut undermined? That is Kitamei Nizro, when you have Tumah. Tumah undermines, but Yain does not, and neither does Tiglachat. Now, Tumah Soteret et HaKol, Bein Tiglachat Soteret et HaKol. Tumah undermines the entire amount, but Tiglachat does not. So Mar says, V'Tumah Naseba Mitamei Kimitamei. Why don't we draw equivalence between Nazir himself, make himself Tamei, and someone else making the Nazir Tamei. Kal v'chomer mitiglachat. We can learn that out from cutting one's hair. Umat tiglachat she'enu soteret ela shloshim. Right? When a tiglachat, when you undermine the Nazirut for tiglachat, it's only a 30-day undermining. Asa b'megaleach kemitgaleach. There's an equivalence between the active and passive form of the giluach, both if the Nazir cuts his own hair or a third party cuts the Nazir's hair. Both of them are restricted, have a lav. Tumah, she's still teret et HaKol. Tumah, which has a much more stringent undermining of Nazirut, meaning it undermines the entire Nazirut. Eno din shenaseh matameh ketamit tameh. Certainly in that case, right, the Tumah should have an equivalence between the active and passive form. Both the Nazir was metameh himself, or another person who makes the Nazir tameh should both have a lav. Amar kara, the tameh, rosh nizro. It's says, the pasuk says, "Metamei Rosh Nizro." The Metamei Rosh Nizro. Only one, only the Nazir himself came in Metamei Rosh Nizro. So why? Where do we learn that from this pasuk? So by Metamei Rosh Nizro, there the implied subject of the sentence is Vehu, because it's Metamei. And who are we referring to? Or Vetimei? I'm sorry, Vetimei Rosh Nizro. Who are we talking about? We're talking about the Nazir there. And it says the Nazir, Vetimei Rosh Nizro. So the object of the action of Timei is Rosh Nizro, but it's also the Nezer, or the Nazir, is also the subject of Vetimei Rosh Nizro. So who can be, who's the only one who can violate the Nazir, or violate the Isser of Tumah? That is Vetimei Rosh Nizro, the Nazir who's Metamei his own head, the Metamei Rosh Nizro. That's the way the Rosh learns. The Mefarish points out that it should have said, if you wanted to include other people in being restricted from your Tamei, the Nazir, it should say, Vitamei Lo Rosh Nizro. Right, that would imply that there's an additional, so Vitamei Lo means anyone who's Metamei Rosh Nizro, which is the object of the verb. Instead of it being both the subject and object, being the Nazir, you could have changed the subject. Since it didn't, it's only the Nazir himself who can be Metamei himself, not any other third party. Now the Gemara continues, V'tiglacha lo nase ba megaleach kemit galeach. So by Tiglachas, let's say that the active and passive form of Giluach should not generate a laugh. Meaning both, that why should it be that someone who cuts Nazir's hair is always restricted? Kavachomer mitumah, it's learned from Tumah. Ma Tumah, she's so teretakol. Tumah, which has the Chumra, that it undermines everything. Lo asaba mitameh kemitameh, over there, only the Nazir himself is chayav for making himself tameh, but not a third party. Tiglachas, she knows so teretakol shloshim yom. Tiglachas, where it says a kula that it only undermines for 3 days. Well, koshukei shall not say by negemegaleach kemitgaleach. Certainly, we shouldn't. There are equivalents between the active and passive form of gilua chamar kura. The pasuk says tar lo yavor al rosho. So it says tar lo yavor. So karibet lo yavor who? But lo yavor acher. Right? That or yavor le acher. That neither the nazir nor anyone else can do it. I mean, the fact that the pasuk lent out with tar lo yavor. Tar lo yavor is an implied subject of anyone. No one may take tar lo yavor. That the object of what he's cutting is al rosho, on his head. But the subject could be tar lo yavor. Tar lo yavor does not define who is tar lo yavor. Doesn't it could be either him or someone else. And since it could be either party, the pasuk teaches us that no matter who cuts the nazir's hair, there's a restriction of tar lo yavor al rosho. So that's it. Tar lo yavor lo yavor who lo yavor le acher. So now the Gemara says, "Tiglachat lo tutar michlala kavachomer miyayin." So maybe tiglachat cutting one's hair should have no exceptions. We can learn that out from wine. My yayin shen soter wine, which does not undermine the zirut ro lo hutar michlala, has no exceptions. Tiglachat, which has the chomer that is soteret, ain't odin shlo tutar michlala. Certainly, it should have no exceptions to the rule. Amarachmano. So the pasuk says, "By mitzora rosho damarachmano zikano." So depending on whether it's Rabbi or the other Tanoim over there that learn, but they use the extraneous words Rosho and Kano by Mitzora to teach you that a Mitzora who is a Nazir is permitted to cut his hair despite the fact that a Nazir is restricted from removing his hair. So it's specifically limud from the Pesukim to teach us that Betiglacha lo tistor klau kavachomer miyayin. So maybe Tiglachat, let's learn the other way. Maybe Tiglachat should not undermine at all from Yain. Ma Yain shlo hutar michlalo. Wine, which has no exceptions, ain't no soter, does not undermine at all. Tiglachat shehutar michlalo. Tiglachat that has exceptions, ain't no din shlo tistor. Maybe it should not undermine at all. So Gemara says, Binun gezel seidar valeka. You know what? You're right. It's true that cutting one's hair does not undermine the nizirut. We have a separate problem. What? That there's a requirement of a nazir. Kadosh, iye, gadol, peres, arusho. He has to grow his hair out. And the minimum time to grow a hair out to have a tiglachas at the end is 30 days. So it's not that he undermines in his zeros. He has a technical problem when he gets his hair cut. That means that he doesn't have a gadol, peres. He hasn't grown his hair out. And be'inim gidol se'ar v'leka. He needs 30 days for his se'ar to grow out. And that he is lacking. So the Gemara says, what about the other way? V'yayin yistor shloshim yom. Maybe wine should undermine for 30 days. Kavachomer tiglachas, we can learn how to tiglachas. Ma tiglachas shehutra michlala. Tiglachas, which has an exception, soteret, still undermines for 30 days. Yain, says, is a chomra shehutar michlala. That is never having any exceptions. Ain't no din should you store? Right? Certainly it should undermine for 30 days. The Gemara says, midu taima. What's the whole reasoning you have to wait 30 days by a nazir when he cuts his hair? Not because he undermines the nazirut, elvishum gidol seir, because he has to grow his hair out. When he drinks wine, he hasn't changed the status of his hair. His hair is still the same length, it's grown out. meaning that the problem by Nazirut, the undermining of the Nazirut by Tiglathat, is not core to the Nazirut. It's a technical problem that he needs hair that's long enough, and he doesn't have that hair. So when it comes to Yayin, he hasn't affected his hair. There's nothing that he's doing that's undermining technically his Nazirut or causing a technical problem in his Nazirut, and therefore it would not be so there. Now quickly we'll go in summary and go through what we learned. We learned out three things by Tumah from this Gemara. What do we know about Tumah? Number one is what? That Tumah is Soter et HaKol and nothing else. The only thing that undermines the entire Nazirut is when he becomes, and Nazir becomes Tameh the Tameh Mate. That comes from the Pasuk by Yamim HaRishonim Yiplu Ki Tameh Nizro. So that we know by Tumah. The number, second thing we learned by Tumah is what? That the exception to the rule of Tumah is Mase Mitzvah. That we learn out from the Pasuk of Laviv Limo. For his father and mother is not Mitameh, Avar is Mitameh, the Mase Mitzvah. So that's the exception to the rule of Tumah. The third thing we learn out by Tumah is that the only lav that comes up for being mitameh the Nazir is that the Nazir is mitameh himself, and not of a third party is mitameh the Nazir. And we learn that out from the pasuk of Vitimei Rosh Nizro, that it's he who is mitameh Rosh Nizro, and no one else that is mitameh Rosh Nizro. So those are the three things that we learn out from the psukim from Tumah. Now, what are the three things we learn out by Tiglachat? Number one, we learn out by Tiglachat that if you have his hair cut, he undermines his Nazir for 30 days. That is not a problem in his Nazirut, but a technical problem that he needs Gidul Seyar. He needs his hair to be long enough to cut at the end, and Gidul Seyar is a minimum of 30 days. So when his hair is cut, he has a problem that he needs Gidul Seyar, and since he can't rectify that except by waiting 30 days, he must wait 30 days in order to rectify that problem. Number two, we learned out by Tiglachat that there's an exception. What's the exception by Tiglachat? That is Mitzorah. The Mitzorah, even though a Nazir is restricted from cutting his hair, the exception is that Mitzorah for the Tiglathat Mitzvah may cut his hair. And where do we know that from? We learn that from the extra words of Rosho and Gano that are found in the Pesukim by Mitzorah. And the third thing we know about Giluach is that the Migaleach can Mitzgaleach. That both the active and passive form of Giluach of the Nazir generate a lav. So both if the Nazir himself cuts his hair or if a third party cuts his hair, both of them are restricted by the lav. That we know from the Pesuk of Tar lo yavor al rosho. That tar lo yavor means he or anyone else may not cut his hair. But and therefore they both generate chiyuvei lavim. And the last thing we have by Geffen we know two things. Two didn't we learn by Geffen. Number one, by Geffen we know that there is no exceptions to the rule by Geffen. Why are there no exceptions to the rule by Geffen? No exceptions to the rule by Geffen because they have the pasuk of miyayin v'sheichar. Right, Yazir. Since those extra words of Yayin Shekhar, Yazir comes to teach us, Lassur Yayin Mitzvah ki Yayin Rishus. Even the face of a mitzvah, the Nazirut still stands and will undermine the mitzvah or block the mitzvah. And since that's the case, there are no exceptions by Yayin. So we know that from the Pasuk. The other thing we know by Yayin is that Yayin does not undermine the Nazirut. It does not undermine the Nazirut because either Tumah is the only thing that undermines the Nazirut, it's a Yamim Arishoni Plu Kitame Nizro. Or number two, the undermining by Tiglachat is a unique circumstance that deals with a technical problem growing hair. That technical problem does not arise when it comes to Yayin. Alright, so those are the Limudim that the Gemara got, those are the Pesukim they used. Gemara used a quasi-circular logic to get to each of these. He says, well, if we didn't have the Pesuk, we would have learned this. So we do have the Pesuk, therefore we know this. Once we know this, let's see, maybe we can learn the opposite. And each time they bring down a Pesuk to show what the Limud is. Alright, now, we're starting the second Amud. Now the second Amud is a difficult Gemara. We're going to go through a couple of stages here in the Gemara, and I will give a number of introductions to this part of the Gemara. The first introduction I'll say is that there's a general understanding in Tumah. When somebody comes Tahor from Tumah, how do they become Tahor from Tumah? So the simplest form of Tumah is what's called Tumat Erev. Tumat Erev is when someone becomes Tamei for a single day. That's for instance someone who came into contact with the Sheretz, a Baal Keri. Right? These are types of forms of simple form of Tumah which make you Tamei for the day, and then at the end of that day you become Tahor. What's the process by which you become Tahor? Well, the process starts like this. You go on the day that you are Tamei, on that day you go to the mikvah. Once you've gone to the mikvah, you're what's called a Tevul Yom. You've now completed the mikvah process, but you have to wait until Harav Shemesh, until the sun sets, to be completely tahor. So you're in this limbo status where you've gone to the mikvah, but the sun has not set. That status is called Tevul Yom. Tevul Yom is a slightly lesser form of Tumah than the full-fledged Tumah. Why? Because a Tevul Yom is permitted to partake in Maitzrot. A Tevul Yom is only a Sheni L'Tumah. And Maitzrot, are the equivalent of chulin, and since after shenu the tumah there is no tumah, the maestros are permitted to him. What is the tvoyom restricted in? He may not partake of truma and kachim. Since truma and kachim have a shlishi and kachim has a revealed tumah, so therefore a tvoyom would be a mitameh, the truma and kachim. So a tvoyom is restricted in consuming truma and kachim. Once the day ends, once there's Harev Shemesh, once the sun sets on that day, this is the first Mishnah in Brachos, once the sun sets, then you are permitted to partake of Tumah. Kohen is permitted to take of Tumah, because now he is Tahor the Gamri, he's totally Tahor. And not only is he allowed to partake in Tumah, he's also allowed to partake in Kodshim. So that's the simplest form of Tumah. Then we have more extensive forms of Tumah, for instance, 7-day Tumah. 7-day tumah comes up, for instance, in a zav that has two emissions, that sees two emissions, or someone who's tamei mace. Both of them have a requirement and or are tamei for 7 days. Then, when they get to their 7th day, the 7th day acts like the equivalent of what's called tumah derev, like that 1-day tumah. That equivalent of that 1-day tumah happens on the 7th day of these extended tumah. So, therefore, on the 7th day, a tamei mace goes to the mikvah. And so does a Zav who had two emissions. They go to the mikvah on the 7th day. Once they've got to the mikvah on the 7th day, they are now a Tvoyon. They're Tvoyon. They can partake in Ma'asrot, but they can't partake in anything else. Truma and Kochim. Then when the sun sets on the 7th day, they become Tahor Lagamre. They become completely Tahor. Once they are completely Tahor, they then may become partake in Truma and Kochim. So that's the second form of Truma. Now there is a even stringent or more stringent form of Tumah, which is Tumah that not only requires you to go to the mikvah, but also, or wait 7 days, but also requires you to bring karbanot on the 8th day. For instance, a metzora, a zav that had three emissions, or a zava gedola, right? A zava gedola, a woman who has emissions over a extended period of time, 3 days straight, but you may ziva. So all of these not only require 7 days of Tumah, to go to the mikvah on the 7th day, then have the sun set on the 7th day, but they also must bring their karbanot on the 8th day. So now, how does this function for them, or what are the restrictions for them? So on the 7th day, each of these will go to the mikvah. When they go to the mikvah, they are at tvoyom. That permits them to partake in masrot. On the night of the 7th day, the sun sets, that's called Harev Shemesh. When the sun sets for this zav, or three emissions, or this mitzvah, or this zav gedola, they then become permitted to consume truma, because now they've reduced their truma, but they are still lacking something. What is that? They're lacking in bringing their karbanot. The lack of bringing their karbanot restricts them from both consuming kodshim or entering the mikdash until they bring their karbanot. They are what's called mechuserei kapara. So even after the sun is set on the 7th day, and for other tumot, if they didn't have a karban, that would permit them both to enter the mikdash and consume kodshim as well as truma. For someone who is required to bring a karban or karbanot on the 8th day, not only are they restricted, not when the sun sets on the 7th day, they're only permitted to consume truma. They are not permitted to enter the mikdash or consume kodshim until they brought their karbanot on the 8th day. All right, so now we'll start the Mishnah, and once we get through the Mishnah, we'll go through another series of introductions to understand better the Mishnah. Tiglachat Tuma. So now we know by a Nazir, if a Nazir becomes Tamei, there's a process by which he must go through to restart his Tiglachat, restart his his counting of the Nazirut. Kesa, Hayam Mazeh B'Shlishi U'B'Shvi'i. Why? A Nazir who became Tamei, not only is he undermined his Nazirut, but he's also Tamei Meis. He must be Mitar himself like any other Tamei Meis. How's the process for any other person who is Mitar themselves from Tamei Meis? They get the ashes of the waters of this Paraduma sprinkled on them on the 3rd day and on the 7th day, and then they go to the mikvah on the 7th day. But the Nazir has an additional things. What's that? Hayam Azebish Lishi B'Shvi'i. He gets the sprinkling of the Paraduma on the 3rd and 7th day. Umigaleach Bishvi. The Nazir has an additional requirement to go get his hair cut on the 7th day. And that comes from the Pasuk. It says, Vitimei Rosh Nizo, Vigalach Rosho Biyom Taharato. He must cut his hair on the day of Tahara. Biyom Hashvi'i Yigalchenu. On the 7th day of his Tahara process, he must cut his hair. Then, Umevi Karbanotov Bishmini. He brings his Karbanot on the 8th day, which is the beginning of the next Pasuk. The next Pasuk says, Uvayom Hashvi'i Hashmini Yabi. Goes through El Petah, Kohen Petah Chomei, goes through the Karbanot he must bring to the Mikdash on the 8th day. So here, for a Nazir Tameh to go through the process, he must get sprinkled on the third and seventh day, go to the mikvah, to be Matar himself from the Tumas Ameis. Then the additional requirements of a Nazir is that he cuts his hair on the seventh day, he gets a shaves his head on the seventh day, and that he brings his karbanot on the eighth day. V'im gilach bishmini. What happens if he didn't cut his hair on the seventh day, but he did cut his hair on the eighth day? I mean, that he did the sprinkling on the third day and the seventh day, and he went to the mikvah, he did everything right. He just didn't cut his hair on the seventh day like required. If he cuts his hair on the eighth day, maybe karbanato b'yom. He does not need to wait an additional day. Does not need to wait an additional day in order to bring his karbanot. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. That's the position of Rabbi Akiva. Now, Amalei Rabbi Tarfon. Ma ben zeh l'mitzora. What's the difference between a nazir and a mitzora? Amalei, that's no problem. I can explain to you the difference between a nazir and a mitzora. A nazir, zeh taratot tfuyah b'me'amav. A nazir to become tameh needs to get through the days. Meaning that he's a tameh mace. And the reason that he needs to clear, what he needs to clear in order to bring his karbanot, is that he needs to become tahor. Becoming tahor is a matter of days, not a matter of any action he has to take. But when it comes to mitzora, the way it's tzora becomes tahor, he has to cut his hair, he has to shave his hair. Then he may be karban, and he cannot bring a karban unless the sun has set on him. Alright, so I just read through this mission and the question of Rabbi Tarfon. The question of Rabbi Tarfon and what Rabbi Akiva answers him happens to be a subject of Machlokas HaRishonim shown him here. So what I'm going to do first is I'm going to explain the common denominators between these Rishonim, what they all agree about, and then we'll discuss what they differ about, and from that we'll understand what the question of Rabbi Tarfon to Rabbi Akiva is, and what Rabbi Akiva's answer is. So let's start with the common ground is. Everybody agrees that a Nazir has two overlapping processes that are taking place here. The Nazir, first of all, is Tamei Mace. And because he's a Tamei Mace, even if he wasn't a Nazir, he'd have to get sprinkled on himself on the third day and the seventh day, and then he would have to go to the mikvah on the seventh day. Because what does a Tamei Mace need? A Tamei Mace needs the sprinkling of the Parduma, and he also needs mikvah with Harav Shemesh. On the seventh day, he needs to go to the mikvah, then he needs to go have the sunset, and then he would be Tahor. Now, a Nazir has additional requirements on top of a normal Tameh Mace, which is that he must shave his head on the seventh day, and he must also bring his karbanot on the eighth day. So now, what everybody agrees on is that if the Nazir, right, goes ahead and does not go to the mikvah on the seventh day, what happens if the Nazir goes to the mikvah on the eighth day? Right? If he goes to the mikvah on the eighth day, what would happen? So we know, what? That's the last line in the mission. We know that a Nazir, in order to become Tahor, a regular Tamei Mace to become Tahor, must not only get his sprinkled on the third and seventh day by the Paraduma, he must go to the mikvah and have the sun set on him to be a Harav Shemesh in order to bring his karbanot. So everybody agrees that a Nazir who went to the mikvah on the seventh day and then is now Tahor, he's Tahor when it comes to the end of the day because the sun set on the seventh day, he can bring his karbanot on the eighth day. Whereas a Nazir, who became Tameh, and then Tameh Meis, and then didn't go to the mikvah on the seventh day, he waited to go to the mikvah on the eighth day. When he goes to the mikvah on the eighth day, he cannot bring his karbanot on the eighth day. He now must wait to the ninth day to bring his karbanot. Why? Because he needs to go to the mikvah, and then he needs Harav Shemesh. He needs the sun to set on him. And since he went to the mikvah on the eighth day, he doesn't have any sunset to help him. That sunset will only come at the end of the eighth day. So therefore, he will only be permitted to bring his karbanot then on the ninth day. And that's what the last line in the Mishnah means. Beinu mevi karbanot ken hoya murav shemesh. He can only bring his karbanot when he is murav shemesh. So that is by a nazir. Now, when it comes to mitzora, we have to read what's the process of tarat ha-mitzora. When it comes to being mitzahar the mitzora, on the first day of being mitzahar the mitzora, he brings the two birds. And then he takes one of the birds, shechs them over the Mayim Chaim, and then he takes the water with the hyssop and wrapped up in Tzlat Shani, and he sprinkles it on the Mitzora. Then they let the other bird go free. After they let the other bird go free, and they be Zah Shebofanim, what do? V'chibesim etzer b'kadav, v'gilach et kol saro, he has to take shave all of his head on that day, that first day, v'chatz b'mayim, he goes to the mikvah, v'tahir, and then it'll be Tzor, v'achar yavoa machaneh. After that first day, he comes back into the machaneh, and then v'yishab mechutz galo shivat yamim. He has to wait an additional 7 days of the mitzora. On the seventh day, he must cut all of his hair. He must now again go to the mikvah after he cuts his hair on the eighth day, he must now go to the mikveh again. And then, over Yom HaShmini, he brings all his karbanot. Now, this happens to be a machlokes, the Meforesh, and the Tosfos and Rosh, how to understand what's the position of a mitzorah. Now, mitzorah, who did his process properly, and if he did his process properly, he would have shaved his head on the first day, gone to the mikveh, shaved his head on the seventh day, gone to the mikveh again, had hair of Shemesh, had the sun set on the seventh day, and then on the eighth day, he would bring his karbanot. The question now is, what happens if a mitzorah doesn't go to the mikveh on the seventh day? Now, why can't the mitzorah go to the mikveh on the seventh day? It's a possibility if the mitzorah didn't cut his hair on the seventh day. A mitzorah, in order to go to the mikveh, that's clearly laid out in the psukim, must first cut his hair on the seventh day, and then go to the mikveh. So now, what happens if the mitzorah, for some reason, didn't cut his hair on the seventh day, but only cuts his hair on the eighth day? If he only cuts his hair on the eighth day, then he can only go to the mikveh on the eighth day. If he can only go to the mikveh on the eighth day, then what? So we're going to learn like Rashi and Tosfos first. If he didn't go to the mikveh on the eighth day, then what would he do? Like by another, he'll need hair of Shemesh. He'll need to wait for the sun to set, and therefore he will only be allowed to bring his karbanot on the ninth day. So now, based on this, we can understand the question of Rabbi Tarfon to Rabbi Akiva. What did Rabbi Akiva posit? Rabbi Akiva said that when it comes to a Nazir, if he did not cut his hair on the seventh day, right, he can cut his hair on the eighth day and bring his karbanot on that eighth day itself. Whereas by a mitzorah, what do you see by a mitzorah? By a mitzorah, if he does not cut his hair on the seventh day and cuts his hair on the eighth day, he cannot bring his karbanot on the eighth day. He must bring his karbanot on the ninth day. So how come by a Nazir, is it when he misses his giluach, right, then he can bring his karbanot on the eighth day, bo bayom, when he cuts his hair on the eighth day. And yet a mitzorah, when he misses the cutting the hair on the seventh day and cuts his hair on the eighth day, cannot bring his karbanot until the ninth day. That's the question of Rabbi Tarfon to Rabbi Akiva. And what is Rabbi Akiva's response? Rabbi Akiva's response is that the mikvah for a nazir is different than the mikvah for a mitzorah. Why does a Nazir go to the mikveh? Nazir goes to a mikveh not because he's a Nazir, but because he's Tamei Mase. And when does a Tamei Mase go to the mikveh? He goes to the mikveh on the seventh day. That's independent of his giluach, independent of his cutting his hair. That's because it's totally beyomim. It's totally on the days. He just needs to complete the 7 days that were normal Tamei Mase has to get, and he goes to the mikveh and he's tahor. Therefore, when he went to the mikveh on the seventh day, he's now tahor. When he missed his giluach on the seventh day, he can just cut his hair on the eighth day and bring the korban. That is not true of a mitzorah. Why? A mitzorah, in order to go to the mikveh, cannot simply wait the amount of days. He must also cut his hair. And that's what we saw in the psukim. In order for the mitzorah to go to the mikveh, he must first cut his hair. So when the mitzorah did not cut his hair on the seventh day and cut his hair on the eighth day, he also cannot go to the mikveh until the eighth day, because the mikveh must come after his giluach. He has to go to the mikveh on the eighth day after his giluach. Now he needs to wait for sunset on the eighth day. If he has to wait for sunset on the eighth day, then he can't bring his karbanot until the ninth day. And why is that? That's what Rabbi Akiva says. By a mitzorah, his mikveh is totally the giluach. It's totally by his cutting his hair, not in the days. And that's the difference. So Rabbi Tarfon asks, why when the Nazir misses his giluach on the seventh day, he does it on the eighth day and brings his karbanot on the eighth day, whereas the mitzorah misses his giluach on the seventh day, does his giluach on the eighth day, and he'll only bring his karbanot on the ninth day? That's Rabbi Akiva's answer. What? Nazir is totally biyomim. Has to do with the dates. It's Tamei Mase. If he goes to the mikveh on the seventh day, he can go to the mikveh before he cuts his hair. So when he cuts his hair, he hasn't caused any delay in his becoming tahor. Whereas by a mitzorah, since the mikveh is totally by giluach, he can't go to the mikveh until he's cut his hair. His delay of cutting his hair from the seventh to eighth day also delays his mikveh to the eighth day. If he delays his mikveh to the eighth day, then he needs hair of Shemesh, he needs the sun to set on the eighth day, and he can't bring his karbanot to the ninth day. That's the explanation of the Mishnah according to the Tosfos and the Rosh. The Meforesh argues here on the Tosfos and the Rosh and says, you know what? A mitzorah on his eighth day, when he goes to the mikveh, does not need hair of Shemesh. Why does he not need hair of Shemesh? Why does he not need the sun to set already? Because a mitzorah is already tahor from the first day. A nazir has been served from the first day because he also went to the mikveh on the first day. And he had Erev Shemesh, the sun set on him on his first day. This going to the mikveh over here is just after he cuts the hair, he goes to the mikveh. And that's it, he's done. He does not need the sun to set on him in order to become tahor. Well, according to the Meforesh then, mitzorah and nazir are exactly the same. Right? That when a nazir misses his giluach, then he cuts his hair on the eighth day, and he brings his karmah note on the eighth day. Whereas a mesoro misses cutting his hair on the seventh day, also cuts his hair on the eighth day, goes to the mikvah on the eighth day, and of course the mefarsh brings his karmah note on the eighth day. So they both have the same din. So then what is Rabbi Tarfon's question to Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Tarfon's question to Rabbi Akiva is, how come? How come when the mitzora goes to the mikvah on the eighth day, he doesn't have to wait for the sun to set? How come he can go right after he goes to the mikvah, he can bring his karmah note? Yet the Nazir, if he missed the mikvah on the seventh day, and only went to the mikvah on the eighth day, he would have to wait for the sunset and only bring his karmah note on the ninth day. So how do you know? How do you know that there's a difference? Why is mikvah different for mitzora than mikvah different for Nazir? And that's the answer of Rabbi Akiva. By a Nazir, the point of going to the mikvah has to do with that he's coming late. It has to do with the day. He's counting to become tahor. If he doesn't go to the mikvah, he's not tahor until he goes to the mikvah and the sun sets on him. That's not true by mitzora. The only reason he goes to the mikvah is because he's cutting his hair on that day. On the seventh day, he's cutting his hair. And therefore, he must go to the mikvah. That mikvah is not a mikvah of tahara. The mikvah of tahara already took place on the first day for the mitzora. And therefore, even if he goes to the mikvah on the eighth day, he can still bring his karbanot on the eighth day, because the mikvah is not a din in tahara. It's not a din in yamim to become tahor. It's a din in tiglachas. And since the tiglachas is done on that day, you can go to the mikvah and then bring the karbanot immediately after that. So that's the question according to Rabbi Tarfon, according to the Mefarsh, and that's Rabbi Kiva's answer to him. Now, let's go into the Gemara. The Gemara says, Kibbalimine alo. Did Rabbi Tarfon accept Rabbi Akiva's answer to him or not? So Tashma, the Tani Hillel. We have Hillel, it's got to be Hillel Hasheni, who's later than the time of Rabbi, later than the time of Mishnah. Gileach Bishmini, because here on the eighth day, may be Karbanota Bichi. He brings his Karbanot on the ninth day. So first of all, what's the Gemara's proof from here? We have a brisa that says if he cuts his hair on the eighth day, he must bring his karbanot on the ninth day. Are we talking about a mitzora? Are we talking about a nazir? What's the case here? So the Rosh says over here, an interesting thing. He says two statements. The Rosh says, Kimlei to the Talmud, the Gemara knew, the Gabi Nazir Matnita. First of all, this brisa was clearly talking about a nazir. Excuse me, even though it's not explicit in the brisa, the Gemara clearly knew that this brisa referred to a nazir. So now, we know we're talking about a nazir. So this is a nazir who cut his hair on the eighth day, and only can bring his karbanot on the ninth day. That sounds exactly like, well, that sounds against Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says explicitly in our Mishnah that if he cuts his hair on the eighth day, he can bring his karbanot on the eighth day, not the ninth day. So who could be the author of this position? That must be Rabbi Tarfon. But how do we know it's Rabbi Tarfon after he heard the answer from Rabbi Akiva, not before he heard the answer from Rabbi Akiva? So that's the second statement the Rosh says. Kimle, the achar Mishnah nishneit. It was clear to the Gemara that this brisa came after the Mishnah, because the only way it's evidence or proof that Rabbi Tarfon did not accept the position of Rabbi Akiva is if this brisa was learned after the Mishnah. So simply, the Rosh could have said those two simple statements and says that the Gemara had knowledge that this brisa was talking about a Nazir, and number two is that it came after the Mishnah. But the Rosh adds on a little line at the end. He says, "Lefi shamishnayot nishnu kodem ha-braisot." All the Mishnayot were learned before the braisot. Now that is a global statement by the Rosh, and it's a pretty big assumption of the Rosh, because that's not necessarily the understanding of what a Mishnah or a Braisa is. A Mishnah or a Braisa has to do not with when chronologically they were learned, but how they were canonized. Rebbe went ahead and took together or placed together all the works of Tanayim, and whatever Rebbe codified or canonized, that was called the Mishnah. Then later on, whatever Rebbe Chiya and Rebbe Oshia put together, those were called the Braisot, or that which was left out of the Mishnah. But that didn't indicate any chronology. Even though they were canonized or put together at a later time, that didn't determine which brisa or which Mishnah preceded the other. I mean, it wasn't a decision of chronology, it was a decision of content, what was placed in and what was not placed in. The way the Rosh says it, that by definition, a brisa was always after a Mishnah, was always learned after a Mishnah, which does not necessarily have to be true, and that is a big assumption of the Rosh, that he says, "L'fisha mishnayot nishnu kodem ha-braisot." All mishnayot were learned prior to Braisot. Right, be that as it is, or be that as it may be, here the Gemara has a proof here, which seems to be that Rabbi Tarfon disagrees with Rabbi Akiva, does not agree to the position of Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara says, V'salkadakta kibla minei, if you think Rabbi Tarfon accepts the position of Rabbi Akiva, they carbon tabishmini, like Rabbi Akiva says in our Mishnah, if a nazir is migaleach on the eighth day, he should be able to be migaleach, he should be able to bring his carbonos on the eighth day. Amarova lokasha. That's not a question. This we saw, everybody agreed to that. What? Had the tavo b'shvi, had the lo tavo b'shvi. No, the problem here was not that he only cut his hair on the eighth day. Not only did he only cut his hair on the eighth day, which he should have done on the seventh day, He also didn't go to the mikvah on the seventh day like he should have, and ended up going to the mikvah on the eighth day. So not only did he cut his hair on the eighth day, he also went to the mikvah on the eighth day. And we know from Nazir that only goes to the mikvah on the eighth day, he has to wait for Erev Shemesh. He has to wait. Everybody agrees he has to wait for the sun to set on the eighth day. If he has to wait for the sun to set on the eighth day, he can't bring his karbanos to the ninth day. So it's possible that Rabbi Tarfon accepted the position of Rabbi Akiva, and the reason in this brisa that he has to wait till the ninth day has nothing to do with Giluach, has nothing to do with that he left over, it's Giluach left over, it's cutting his hair, but he also forgot to go to the mikvah on the seventh day, or couldn't go to the mikvah on the seventh day, only went on the eighth day. He's going to the mikvah on the eighth day, which is what delays his karbanos to the ninth day, not the Giluach cutting of his hair. Alright, now, the next sugya, I would say, not from a logical standpoint, it's not a difficult sugya, but the end of the sugya is a very difficult to read into the Gemara. So what I'll do is actually two ways to read the Gemara, or the answer of the Gemara, both according to the Mefaresh, or according to the Rosh and the Tosos. I'm going to read the Gemara, or the question of the Gemara, at least according to the Mefaresh first. And when I get to the end of the Gemara, then I'll go back and explain it according to the Tosos and the Rosh, or give you the general purview or review of what they would say the question is here. So Rabbi Ashkechintu Lechavred, Rabbi Natan Barushi, I found the Talmidim, or the Beis Medrash, or Rabbi Natan Barushi, they were sitting Yatim Garmin. They were learning. So it says, they're quoting a pasuk here from Azav. It says about Azav, when Azav becomes Tahor, now here we're talking about Azav that had three emissions. Zav that had three emissions must wait 7 days of Tumah, and then on the eighth day he brings his karbanot to the Mikdash. So it says over there, by the end of the day, it says, Chitar Azav mizovo v'safar lo shivat yamim l'tarato. Azav must count 7 days. V'chibet v'gadav, clean his clothing, v'chatz v'tro b'mayim, go to the mikveh with the hair. Then, uvayom ha'shmini, on the eighth day, yikach lo shtei torim v'shnei ben arav, v'al lifnei Hashem v'petach ol moed. Now he can bring his karbanot to the petach ol moed on the eighth day. So they were quoting this pasuk. This pasuk, oh baby, it's day. Over Yom Hashmini, Kachol Shtei Torim, Shnei Ben Arav, Vali Fnei Hashem. It'll come before Hashem, El Petach Umeiv, and Atnam El Kohen, and He'll give him to the Kohen. That was about Azav. Now they want to infer, or from this they want to infer something. And what is that? Eimatai Huba, Bizman Shutaval, Vasaher Shemesh. When is the Azav permitted to come back in to bring his karbanot? That's only after he's gone to the mikveh on the seventh day. The sun has set on him on the seventh day, and now he brings it on the eighth day. So, tavo v'aseir shemesh in. Lo tavo v'aseir shemesh lo. But it sounds like what? That on the seventh day, he can't bring his karbanot. Alma. From this we can see that kasabar tvul yom shel zav kizav domi. That if, when a tvul yom, which is as we saw before, when you go to the mikvah on the seventh day, there's a slightly reduced form of tumah that you have, because you're permitted to partake in maaser from that point forward. And nevertheless, that's not enough of a reduction in the Tumah to allow you to enter the Mikdash. Why is that? Because had it been that you are out at a point, Azav, let's just start with this, the background, Azav is not allowed to enter into the Mikdash. So since Azav cannot enter the Mikdash, what's preventing him from bringing his Karbanot on the seventh day? The fact that he is Azav. So why is he bringing his Karbanot on the eighth day? Because he's only Tahor from being Azav on the eighth day. But if you believe that at Tvul Yom, the point that he reached at Tvul Yom and went to the mikvah, he already was not a full status of a Zav, and he could enter the Mikdash. If he could enter the Mikdash at that time, then he should have brought his Karbanot on the seventh day. Why does the Torah say he must wait until the eighth day to bring his Karbanot? That must be because Tvul Yom shall Zav, even after Zav gone to the mikvah, because Zav Dami still has a full status Zav. So now, Abaya says back to them, what do you mean? What type of proof is this? I can bring you a case by Nazir. What's the case by a Nazir? A Nazir also has to wait 7 days of Tumah, and it brings his Karbanot on the eighth day. So when the Nazir is going to bring his Karbanot on the eighth day, why is he bringing his Karbanot on the eighth day? So based on your inference, based on what you're learning from the pasuk, that the Zav bringing on the eighth day teaches us on the seventh day he's not permitted to go into the Mikdash. So let's say the same thing by Nazir. A Nazir brings his Karbanot on the eighth day because he can't enter the Mikdash on the seventh day. Why can't a Nazir enter on Mikdash on the seventh day? He's Tamei Meis. Whoa, wait a minute. Is a Tamei Meis restricted from going into the Mikdash? The answer to that is no. A Tamei Meis can go into the Mikdash. Now look at a Tamei Meis going into the Mikdash. Even a Meis Atzmo, a Meis himself can be in the Mikdash. How do we know that? So that's what Gemara is going to show us in a second. But based on this, the Bais says your inference is a poor inference. Because if you say the whole reason you bring it on the eighth day is because you can't enter on the seventh day, that's the din by Zav, Then how are you going to explain Nazir? Nazir brings his carbonos on the eighth day because he can't enter on the seventh day. That's not true. Nazir Betuma can enter on the seventh day, and yet he still has to bring his carbonos on the eighth day. So let's see this question in the Gemara inside. The Gemara says like this. Amin alone, I said to them, Ana, Ela Asa, Gabi Nazir. By Nazir Tameh, by Nazir Tameh, it says, what? Uva Yomash Mini Yavi. Shteta Rima Shnei Be'onai. He only brings his carbonos on the eighth day. Ela Kaweno Pedachumayt. Imatai Ba. When can the Nazir only come in from the Mikdash? That's only on the eighth day, because he has to wait on the seventh day, he wouldn't be able to enter. He'd have to go to Tevila and Harav Shemesh. Michte, let us see. Shari Niknor, where does he have to go in to bring his carbonos? The Shari Niknor. And the Shari Niknor are the entrance, the doors that enter into the Ezrat Yisrael, past the Ezrat Nashim, into the Ezrat Yisrael, where the carbonos are brought. Hechad Kayamin, where are they? The doors of Niknor are Bishare Leviyah. The beginning of Ezra Yisrael, which is the equivalent of Machane Levi in the Midbar. And what do we know about Machane Levi in the Midbar? Bahatanya, we have a braisa, Tamei Meis, Mutar Likanes Machane Leviyah. Someone with Tamei Meis can go into Machane Leviyah. Below Tamei Meis Bilvad, not only a Tamei Meis can enter, Elafil Meis Atmo, even a dead body itself can enter into Machane Leviyah. How do I know this? Shenemar, Vikach Moshe, Atmo, Tzusefimo. So we're leaving Mitzrayim. What does Moshe do? He takes the bones of Yosef with him. Imo, my Imo, Imo Mechitzato. Moshe travels with the bones of Yosef next to him. And where's Moshe located? Moshe is located in the Machane Leviyah. And yet he takes the Atmos Yosef with him. So you see that what? The Machane Leviyah. So he brings the Atmos Yosef, but Tomei makes with him, even in the Machane Leviyah. So based on this, if I says your inferences are poor inference, I don't necessarily disagree with your din, that what a tzvul yom shel zav is a zav, but I disagree about how you are learning that. You're learning that out from the fact that the inference that he can only bring his carbonos on the eighth day. That's why, because otherwise he should bring his carbonos on the seventh day. You can't make that limud, because by Nazir we have the exact same setup. He brings his carbonos on the eighth day, despite the fact on the seventh day he could have entered into the azara, and yet he still brings his carbonos on the eighth day, so your inference is a poor inference. So then, Ella. So what's the reasoning that he can't go in, or what's the reasoning that you have to wait until the eighth day? Tful Yom Shel Zav Kazav Dami. I agree with you that the din of Tful Yom Shel Zav is like a Zav. Va'afilu Hachi. The reason that the Zav can't enter or cannot bring his carbonos till the eighth day is Kevin de Mechusar Kapara, because he's lacking Kapara. The lack of Kapara, the lack of bringing carbonos, are actually what prevent him from going into Lo Ayo, and prevent him from going into the Mikdash. So now, first of all, I'll just mention this, that the Mefarish thinks that this also prevents a Nazir, that even a Nazir, Tamei, cannot enter into the Mikdash. That is disputed by all other Rishonim. But I'm just mentioning it because he mentions it here, the Nazir, the Mefarish says that even a Nazir, who's a Mechusar Kapara, lacks Karbanot, cannot enter in the Mikdash because he's been Mechusar Kapara. All other Rishonim believe that only some Tumah that you'll say Migufo, Tumah that comes out of your body, that's emitted from your body itself, prevents you from going into the Mikdash. But no other Tumah will prevent you from going into the Mikdash, like Tamei Meis. Or Tamei Sheretz, those won't prevent you from going into the Mikdash. So anyway, Kevin de Mechusar Kapar lo ayo. Ve'ima Machane Leviyah Koi, if he's standing in the Machane Leviyah, amai kakar le ol moed. Why? Where does he have to bring the carbon? Where does the Zav have to bring his carbon? Does he have to bring his carbon, or even the Nazir, where do they bring their carbon? In the Azara. Petach ol moed, to go to ol moed, that's the Heichal, that's the Kodesh. Why does the Nazir have to go into the Kodesh? Or why does the Zav have to go into the Kodesh? They don't need to enter the Kodesh. Lamemrat, it comes to teach you, Ma hata mechusar kapara lo ayil. Just like we know a mechusar kapara may not enter the Ol Moed, so too, af lamachane leviyah, na mechusar kapara lo ayil. So too, a mechusar kapara may not enter the Ezrat Yisrael. This jump in the Gemara is not clear. Why the Gemara knows? Just because it says Petach Ol Moed, and where does he bring his carbonos? In the Ezrat Yisrael. So just like Petach Ol Moed Mechusar Kapara is restricted, so too Ol Moed is where he's restricted. It's not clear. I mean, so too the Azara is restricted from going in Mechusar Kapara. It's not clear how the Gemara made that last jump to say that Machane Leviyah is also, he can't go in Mechusar Kapara. That's the assumption of the Gemara, that since he brings his carbonos in Machane Leviyah, so therefore Mechusar Kapara will also be restricted there, like he's restricted to going into the Ol Moed. And how do you know that a Mechusar Kapara can't enter the Ol Moed, can't enter the Kodesh? That we know from the Psukim by the Paraduma, the Tanya of Abraisa, Tameiyeh, the Rabot Tvul Yom. The Tamei cannot enter, Tvul Yom may not enter into the Kodesh. even when it's tumah still in him, l'rabot mechusar kapara. So we have a specific pasuk that teaches us that a mechusar kapara may not enter, or something may not enter into the kodesh. So just like a mechusar kapara cannot enter into the kodesh, so too he may not enter into the machane leviyah. And that's the reason the zav can't bring his korban until the eighth day. The zav can't bring his korban until the eighth day, not because tful shel zav is like a zav dami, but rather because he's a mechusar kapara. And Mechusar Kapara cannot enter into the Machane Leviyah until he has brought his Karbanot. So once he's brought his Karbanot, he's no longer Mechusar Kapara, and then he can enter into Machane Leviyah. You ask, how did he bring his Karbanot? The answer is he comes to the doorway of the Azara, and then he can stick his hands in, Bia B'mitzvah Slosh Mei Bia. But since he's not walking entirely into there, we allow him to do whatever smich or whatever actions he has to do right by the doorway of the Azara, and then the Kohen bring his Karbanot. And after the Karbanot are brought, he's no longer a mechusar kapara, and there he can partake of kachim or enter into the mikdash. So that's the way the Gemara reads according to, or basically according to the Mefaresh. Tosfos and the Rosh dispute this reading of the Gemara, and they actually change the Gemara's read because the problem is that a mechusar kapara, we said before, of a nazir, can't enter the mikdash. The mechusar kapara is only a din in zav, and not a din in nazir. So we explained the Gemara, we kind of left out that piece of the Mefaresh, explained the Gemara that it's time at zav. And in the end, Abai is just explaining, why does the Zav have to wait to the 8th day? Because he's a Mechusar Kapara. Doesn't explain why Nazir has to wait to the 8th day, but explains why a Zav has to wait till the 8th day, because he's Mechusar Kapara. And you're right, maybe Tvul Yom Zav is Kazav Dami. But that's not the reason, and we don't learn that inference from the Pesukim to teach you that din, or to teach you why you don't go in. Now the way Tosfos and the Rosh learn the Gemara, they say no. The question of the Gemara is actually like this. There are two types of Zavim. There's a Zav, what's called Baal Shteriyot, a Zav that has two sightings. There's also a Zav that has three sightings. A Zav that has two sightings waits 7 days of Tumah, goes to the mikvah on the seventh day, and then goes to Harav Shemesh, waits for the sunset, and is Tahor. A Zav that has three emissions must not only wait 7 days, go to the mikvah, and wait for Harav Shemesh, he also has to bring Karbanot on the eighth day. So the Gemara's question, or what the students of Rabbi Nathan Baroshia we're trying to say is, just like a Zav who has three emissions may not enter the Mikdash until after the sun sets, so too a Zav that has two emissions should not be able to enter the Mikdash until he has had the sun set. So Abai says to him, what do you mean? How do you know? Why should that be true? What's your reference? Your reference point is why? Because he brings the Karbanot on the eighth day. Since he brings the Karbanot on the eighth day, shows you that a Zav cannot enter until the 8th day. Which means that as long as a Zav is still a Zav, even when he's a Tful Yom, he still cannot enter the Mikdash. Because I can prove to you from Nazir that the 8th day doesn't teach you that. Right? So that's what Abai's question to them is. Abai asks them, no way, that's not true. That's not true, because by Nazir we have an 8th day, and nevertheless, Nazir is allowed to enter the Mikdash even prior to the 8th day. So your proof that you have to wait till the 8th day to bring the Karbanot is no proof that on the 7th day you're not allowed to go in. So then Abai answers the Girsa, according to the Gemara here, according to the Tosfos and Rashi, that Mar Abai Tvul Yom Shel Zav Lav Kezav Dami. The Tvul Yom of a Zav is not like a Zav, meaning that a Zav who has two Re'iot, right, can go into the Mikdash even when he's a Tvul Yom. Ah, but we know by a Zav, by Shlosh Re'iot, that he cannot go into the Mikdash. He can't bring his Karbanot to the 8th day. That Abai says, no, that's different. A Zav Baal Shlosh Re'iot, a Zav that has three emissions, is missing two things. He's missing Harav Shemesh, the sun setting, and he's missing Karbanot, Mechusarei Kapara. He has two things, two strikes against it. Not only does he not have sun setting, he doesn't have his Karbanot, it's Mechusarei Kapara, and that's what restricts him from entering the Mikdash on the seventh day. But a Zav Baal Shteh Re'iot, a Zav that only has two emissions, he's not restricted from entering the Mikdash. Why? There's only one thing that he has left, that's the sun setting. So a Tvul Yom of a Zav that is two emissions may be permitted to enter the Mikdash on the time that he's a Tvul Yom, because he only has one strike against him, not two strikes against him. And that's sort of Abai's answer to the Talmidim of Renata Meosha. Renata Meosha wants to draw an equation between a Zav of three Re'iot and a Zav of two Re'iot. Just like a Zav of three Re'iot can't go in until the eighth day because he needs to wait for sunset, so to a Zav of Shtei Re'iot of two emissions can't go in until sunset. Abai says that's a bad comparison. Why? Because what is your proof that he can't go until sunset? That's because he's going to bring his Karbanot on the eighth day. I'll show you that bringing Karbanot on the eighth day does not tell us when you're permitted to go in from Nazir. Nazir is allowed to bring his Karbanot on the eighth day, and still he's allowed to go in on the seventh day, so that's not teaching us anything. Ah, So then what's the din? The din, according to Abaye, is that a zav of two emissions, a zav of two emissions can go in even after he goes to the mikveh before Harav Shemesh. A zav of 3 years must wait for Harav Sunset until he can go in. Why is that? Because we only allow you to go in when you have one strike against you, not when you have two strikes against you. That's it. So here, a zav of 3 years, once he reaches Tful Yom, all he has to wait for is Harav Shemesh. Just wait for the sun to set. That's one strike against him, now he can enter. Whereas a zav of 3 years, when he has 3 emissions, he has 2 strikes against him. Not only does he need sunset, he also has to bring his karbanot. So he's a mechusere kapara and a Tful Yom. Therefore, that's why he can't enter on the 7th day. And only once he's brought his karbanot on the 8th day may he be permitted to enter. All right, we'll stop here.